Do you want to maximize your success with NCUA? Join Mark Treichel as he shares with you the insider's view on passing your exam with flying colors. The With Flying Colors podcast is sponsored by Credit Union Exam Solutions by Mark Treichel. If you would like to work directly with the Credit Union Exam Solutions team and receive support to optimize your results with NCUA so you save time and money, visit us at marktreichel.com to find out more.
Hey everyone, this is Mark Treichel with another episode of With Flying Colors. And today I have a little bit of a different way I'm going to be doing this podcast, and you'll hear about that shortly. But the NCUA board on April 18th approved an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking on records retention. The board action bulletin, Chairman Harper was stated as saying, it is important that federally insured credit unions maintain a robust records preservation program, a program whereby vital records can readily be reconstructed. Chairman Todd Harper said, maintaining all vital records is central to a credit union's ability to properly serve its members and to the NCUA's ability to fulfill its supervisory enforcement and liquidation functions. Now, the board meeting was unique in one way in that Chairman Todd Harper was not at the NCUA building when he did the podcast. He was on video. As a reminder, they skipped March, so he wasn't there in April, and maybe they're tiptoeing into doing these remote like they've got most of the people working remote. But in any event, that caught my eye when I watched the YouTube video, because Vice Chairman Kyle Hauptmann was sitting right next to Tanya Otska, the newest of the three board members. And it was fitting because this was a proposed rulemaking that Vice Chairman Kyle Hauptmann was taking a lot of credit for pushing. He made some great points about the fact that credit unions don't really, particularly small credit unions, don't really understand what it is they're supposed to keep, what it is they're not required to keep. There was a lot of reference to the fact that, are the attachments guidance or are they not guidance? There was a lot of reference to questions that were being asked as part of the advance notice for proposed rulemaking. So if you are one who likes to comment, take a look at the questions and get your comments in. However, they didn't highlight any of those questions, which I probably will highlight a few of them here today. So again, this was pushed by Kyle Hauptmann. He actually did something very clever, and he had sent out to some credit unions, smaller credit unions, and said, show me your storage space where you keep your records. And he talked a lot about when he was in when he worked at stockbrokers, how the SEC required that they keep records 7 years, and that there's different rules for the IRS, and that there's different rules for NCUA, but that people in credit unions err on the side of keeping everything so that they can't get in trouble with NCUA, particularly smaller credit unions, because they don't have the time to hire attorneys to tell them what the rule actually means. So a lot of good content here, and he makes a good point that this is a good proposal, should it become final ever, for small credit unions, and that their burden is so high. At the end, I'll say why that's great. I agree with it, but what the other things the NCUA board is doing is actually hurting small credit unions, but I'll save that for the end. All right. And as far as particular questions that they are asking, they have questions such as, does the definition of vital records in the rule contain all and only those records you would consider to be vital for the credit unions? Next question. Are there additional types of documents not listed as vital records that you think should be, as they are critical for business operations and to properly serve members? Next question. Are there other industry standards or methodologies outside of the rule that the agency should consider for preserving vital records, for defining what vital records are, and for determining minimum retention periods? Next question. The primary focus of the records retention guidance in Appendix B relates specifically to catastrophic act preparedness. Are there any terms, definitions, or standards that the board should consider updating in Appendix B? The next question. Are there any other changes to Appendix B that you would recommend? Next question. How long and in what format does your credit union store its vital records? Next question. Does your credit union maintain and store any vital records in a physical format due to a regulatory requirement or supervisory expectation? Next question. What impediments, including estimated costs, does your credit union encounter with storing vital records? Next question. What records do you deem vital for business operations that a credit union should be required to keep permanently for the purpose of restoring vital member services? Next question. Other than for records that must be kept permanently, are there specific timeframes you would recommend that other vital records be retained? Next questions. What are the pros and cons of storing vital records physically, electronically, or in other formats such as cloud computing storage? Next question. Does your credit union rely on third-party vendors to accurately maintain vital records? And if so, what are some of the challenges that these arrangements present? Next question. How would you suggest the agency create a more effective framework for credit unions to preserve vital records? Next questions. What are some challenges for smaller credit unions defined as credit unions with less than $100 million or less in maintaining vital records, and what has worked? Next and last question. What additional support, training, or technical assistance could the NCUA provide, if any, to assist credit unions with both understanding and implementing retention requirements? If any of those questions are something that you have a strong opinion on, I highly encourage you to comment to the ANPR. I do believe the NCUA board is going to take these comments into consideration and truly would like to make this regulation better. Now, there's reference to the appendixes relating to a disaster recovery type situation. There was reference in the board meeting to the federal building in Oklahoma that blew up that did have a credit union headquarters in it. And I can relate to that reference because when that happened, I was a supervisory examiner in Dallas. I had peers and friends that were supervisory examiners in Oklahoma. They were actually doing exams down the road from the federal building when it blew up. And I was supplementing their exam teams with some of my examiners. So when that happened, there's a lot of chaos in the United States from the trauma of it, but I have friends and colleagues who had to work with the credit union to get the operations back up and running. So it's a very important reg from that perspective. And kudos to Kyle Houtman for bringing this up. He also, I wanted to touch on this if I haven't already, he also had credit unions send pictures of their storage space. I think I touched on that, but I've got a blog where I took a picture of what was provided, and it shows exactly why it's an issue. You've got boxes and boxes. They're paying for storage. They don't know what they need. And NCUA improving the regulation, I think, would go great towards helping these smaller credit unions. All right. And so the new thing I'm doing here is I discovered some new software. So I was able to take Kyle Houtman's entire speech at the board meeting and narrow it down to that and improve the sound quality a little bit. And so what's coming up next are the words of Vice Chairman Kyle Houtman, the advocate for this proposed rule. And I will have some comments at the end to close out this podcast.
That concludes my remarks, and I now recognize Vice Chairman Houtman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Kelly and Matt, for the presentation, and Gira for being available for questions. I want to also thank Kelly for taking the time to look into the impact of NCUA's regulations on records preservation as they're currently written. And I definitely want to thank the leaders of small credit unions, which I think are the reason we're here. We had a meeting a few months back, leaders of small credit unions, they brought up a few actionable items. And I believe that meeting and then our subsequent ones and discussions with Kelly are why we're here today. My point is a broader one, that we actually do listen and there is a point to talk to us and it can actually have value. So I think there are only maybe three or four credit union leaders on that call we had, but they're going to wind up helping thousands of other people. So I want to thank those folks. They did a real job, and I want to thank our staff for that meeting bringing something to our attention actually is going to bring real results to a lot of people. So to wit, the crush of regulatory burden weighs more heavily on small credit unions. We cannot talk about financial inclusion or talk about helping small credit unions unless we're doing the sort of things we're doing here today, providing clarity that frees up scarce resources to focus on their actual credit union members. If you go to the extreme, regulatory burden is often cited as a reason why otherwise healthy credit unions merge out of existence. But you know what's worse than a regulatory burden? Finding out you're doing things that your regulator didn't even need you to do. We found out credit unions were storing boxes of records from decades ago because they thought that we at NCUA wanted them to. Now, we're aware that other agencies, et cetera, may require records, but they said, we thought you wanted that. Some were paying for storage facilities, and unfortunately, it made sense to do all of this hoarder-like record retention. Because as long as you get in trouble for not having a document, and you never get in any trouble for having extra documents, the behavior is fairly obvious. Credit unions and banks talk about this with suspicious activity reports, why they file so many. They never get in trouble for filing too many. They only get in trouble for not filing one. Their behavior obviously flows from that. Yesterday, and I wish you thought of it earlier, we had the idea to email two people and ask about their specific credit unions' records practices. Got a couple photos at 5:30 p.m. last night. Slide, please. Franz, you got that slide? Yeah. All right. This is what we got back last night at 5:30. You can see on the right how deep. This is just one credit union, which, by the way, is not particularly large. I can say it's under $100 million in assets. Okay. They're paying for this. You can see the yellow with old papers. And so if someone says, you know, these days we have cloud storage, just scan it. Well, anyone that thinks the answer is just scan it hasn't had to go through all those. And even if you will scan, wouldn't it be a pain to find out you scanned 100 boxes of documents and you only had to scan five? You have to often do it one at a time for old crinkled documents because you have to get the whole document. Otherwise, why are you retaining it? You can even see, if any of you are old enough to remember the old dot matrix printers, you literally can't feed them in a stack into a modern scanner. They have those perforated edges on the side with the holes in it, and you have to pull them off. I just looked it up. That's called continuous feed paper. And so it's not very easy to do. Nobody can argue the need for keeping records. It's important. It's important for NCUA. It's important for the credit union. If I was a new credit union CEO, I'd want them to have good practices. It's very helpful for new management. But we, after 15 years, it's time to reevaluate your unforeseen effects of Part 749 as it's currently written. Even if they are maintaining documents digitally, do they have to do that? That costs money, too. This agency pays for cloud storage as well. We get it. And I will say that those boxes, to credit to the small guardian, it's piles of old boxes that probably the people who put the ones in the back don't work there anymore. And I'll say, I had a storage unit. This is more organized than the one I had. And I want to thank the couple people at NCUA that cleaned out that our supply closets in the hallway on this floor. I can tell you they were a lot messier than that. So even if you have the wherewithal to digitize, do we actually need to digitize papers from 1985 because you think NCUA? If the unintended consequences of a regulation run counter to what was intended, a responsible regulator will reevaluate and adjust. Many of you know that NCUA annually reviews one-third of its regs for updates. Over 3 years, that means all of them are addressed. On many occasions, the NCUA has taken that opportunity to clarify, reevaluate the impact of the regulations. Today's action is an example of that. And although I do want to take credit for bringing this to the board's attention, I'll take credit for that, I want to clarify that I don't think that the reg was written wrong. I don't think it was written incorrectly. I think back then I may well have written the exact same thing. It's just the result of it and the incentives that it winds up giving to any regulated institution. And one more thing. We talk a lot about how important it is for small credit unions to have, any credit union, but particularly small credit unions to have succession planning. Well, one way we can help with that as an agency is make the job more appealing. Records retention is the example of the straw that can break the camel's back. It's one of the many important but tedious requirements that can make running a small credit union less attractive than it could otherwise be. Thus, right-sizing the regulatory burden is one way that NCUA can make it easier for credit unions to survive once a longtime CEO retires. The job shouldn't have to be a labor of love. NCUA can't control what records a credit union is required for their state or other agencies. But we can reduce unnecessary burden by ensuring our rules are clear and do not require more that is needed. And so the next step here is we're going to look for ideas from the public on what should we actually write? What will actually help that, right? That's what the credit union is going to want. So we can find ideas that reduce the cost, make it less so people are digging through old heavy documents. You probably don't need anything that uses the dot matrix printer, but we need to actually publish something. The good news is we can probably get some easy ideas from other agencies. Just second slide, Franz, please. From my Wall Street days, I remember everything was 7 years. Okay, this is from the SEC. This is kind of what we're looking at. 7 years records, and then they say what exactly that means, 7 years. Okay, I remember anything we wrote, even in our Bloomberg chats, was 7 years, right? And you knew that, right? This is just an example. It happens across government. If you filed your taxes on Monday, the IRS, just so you know, is you are supposed to only have 3 years worth of records to back up that 2023 return. If they audit your 2023 return, they can ask you for information related to your 2023, 2022, and 2021. The IRS itself is published. We're not going to ask you about 2015 records. Okay? It's the exact same reason. It's the same reason that in criminal justice, that's a statute of limitations for most things. Because over time, memories fade, things get lost, people die. And in terms of which year they can audit, just so you guys know, Chairman Harper, you're off the hook from 2017 and earlier, just so you know. They can only even audit the last 7 years, from when you filed it, at least, okay?
Goodness.
Yeah, so anything? So thanks again for the staff working this. I just have one question, which is what I alluded to. I think credit unions, you know, the people who sent that photo in are going to be like, oh, man, I'm glad they're doing this. What happens next? They can't, after this meeting, go and throw out the old stuff just yet. What is the next step?
I can take that question, Vice Chairman. So what happens next is really a question for the board. Today's action is an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to solicit feedback from commenters and stakeholders. And we expect to get robust feedback, which can then inform any future action that the board decides to take. And that could be well be a notice of proposed rulemaking, but that would be a future action.
Somebody wants to send us a link, an idea. Can they do that today?
They can.
Okay.
They can provide feedback all the time, just as you received feedback
that's right.
prior to.
So, do you have an easy idea that would also serve NCUA's purposes? We do need records kept. KHoutman, NCUA.gov. But a lot of these things, the notice comment period, it has an official start date, it has an official end date, and the comments are public.
Yeah.
Anyone can email or call anybody anytime. But so if someone today is hearing about this, they can send something in today to whom? So,
they could send comments into the NCUA on our website, but specifically in response to this ANPR, this document, once the board,
if the board approves it,
it will be published in the Federal Register, and we provide specific instructions for how the public can comment.
Okay.
And it's a transparent process available to all.
But if it is top of mind for anybody out there who watches this or hears about it, there's nothing stopping anybody every time for calling or emailing and say, here's an idea, here's what my state regulator does, you know, something like that. If it's top of mind, that's the time to take action. I'm pleased that I believe all three board members are supporting this item, and that I believe all three board members know how important it is to not make the life of a small credit union CEO any harder than it has to be. And I think the board is all in agreement that we know that sometimes regulations can make that less attractive, that when a little credit union goes away and that field of membership loses their own credit union, sometimes that's because government has made the job harder than it needs to be. That concludes my remarks. Back to Chairman Harper.
Okay, a lot of good information, word for word from Kyle Houtman. I may do a little bit more of this in the future. Let me know if you like this style. And okay, so he made some great points about how this will help small credit unions. However, it's a little bit of a deck chair on a Titanic type statement because of what the Democratic-led board is doing right now, tied to fees, tied to overdrafts, tied to fees for overdrafts, NSF fees, et cetera. The fact that NCUA is talking about concentration risk being a risk tied to fee income, all of those efforts are going to increase mergers. All of those efforts are going to lead to less credit unions and ironically create more of a monopoly type situation. In one of his speeches, Chairman Harper talked about the fact that two of the three biggest banks don't charge share overdrafts or checking account overdrafts. Well, guess what? Those guys are going to survive regardless of whatever happens. So as the government takes an approach that fees are in and of themselves evil, it's going to create more mergers in banks, more mergers in credit unions, lead to consolidation, and lead to the point where the big banks and the big credit unions are all that's left. And is that really what's in the best interest of credit union members and the United States of America? I think not. So again, kudos to Kyle Houtman. I think perhaps if he had another Republican vote, he would change the direction of what's going on in the fee income arena, because that is a very partisan topic. And I will leave it at that. Great job, Kyle Houtman, on this particular action. And I hope it leads to a board proposed rule, which will be followed by a final rule down the road. So it's going to take a while, probably at least another 12 months to 18 months to get any final traction on this. But this was a fabulous first step. All right, this is Mark Treichel signing off with flying colors. I hope you'll listen again soon.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of With Flying Colors. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app to hear future episodes where subject matter experts of all varieties will provide tips on how to achieve success with NCUA. If you would like to learn more about how we assist credit unions, check out our services at marktreichel.com.